Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what a blessing it is to have you in our presence and for us to be in your presence and, Lord, to be always with you no matter where we are or what we're doing. You are there and you know what is going on. You know our thoughts even before we think them. Lord, I pray we would honor you with our hearts and with our lips today, Lord, and we would pray as you would lead us to pray. You would fill each of us with your spirit to overflowing, and Lord, our hearts would be in accord with yours, and all that you want to see accomplished in these few moments together would be, and then throughout the day and the week and wherever, Lord, we would be obedient to what you have for each of us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. We continue on through the book of Genesis today, and we are just moved forward just a few weeks from last week's study. Last week we were in Genesis 17, and God made known to Abraham that the promised son was not Ishmael, but it was going to be one who would come through Sarah. And so in verse 17 it says, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year." Now we move on into chapter 18, and the Lord appears again to Abraham and to Sarah. So since she wasn't pregnant yet, this must have been not too long after the events. In other words, the chapter break, which is never is in the original, but the difference between the last verse of chapter 17 and the first verse of chapter 18 is not very long. But we have a review of a promise that this son is coming, and we see that Sarah and Abraham both are in somewhat of disbelief. They can't believe this could possibly happen. And so it's a great lesson for us this morning. When we see things that God has promised in your life, and yet all you see is evidence that it can't possibly happen, where is your faith? And you actually laugh when God reminds you of his promise? How often do we do that? And it says she laughed out of fear. And so thought we would just sing an old song here by Jim Hamlin. A couple of lines in that kind of caught my attention. "Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope for you. It is no secret what God can do. Just take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do." So let's sing along with this, and then we'll get into these first few verses in chapter 18 of the book of Genesis. "It is no secret."
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone new? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon what God can do. There is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take him at his promise. Don't run away. what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
So Genesis 18, chapter 18, verse 1, then the Lord appeared to Abraham now, I should say, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord. Now, the translators believe that that was Jesus Christ, because they capitalized the word Lord, and it would appear that probably Abraham recognized the theophanies because he'd seen him before. But at any rate, he says, my Lord, to these three men, addressing certainly the one of them, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree, and I will bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you've come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastens to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, to Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here, in the tent. And the Lord said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And I would think that's probably 9 months, time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also, my husband being old also? And the Lord... Now we got all the way to Yahweh now, and the Yahweh said to Jehovah, and Yahweh said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? What do you think? How about times in your life when you think there's no way out of this one? I know the Lord can do it, but I don't think he will do it. It's too hard for him. Because we look at it from our own agency, don't we? And we see things that we couldn't possibly do, so how can God do it if we can't even figure out a way to do it? This word hard is very interesting. In the Hebrew, it's pala, and it actually means wonderful or miraculous. It's the same word that is used in Isaiah 9:6, where it says, for unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. So we could read this, is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is there anything too miraculous for the Lord? And any and all of those words, the answer, of course, is no. So the Lord says, is there anything too hard for the Lord, for Yahweh? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and the time of life for the humans, I think, is 9 months, and Sarah shall have a son. Now that's pretty clear, but Sarah, it's not doubting Thomas, this is doubting Sarah. And like you could put our name in there probably. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh. So she gets defensive. She didn't laugh out loud. So how did the Lord know she laughed? Well, the Lord knows all things, right? He knows what you're thinking, whether you ever make a mention or not, prayer or anything else, he knows what is going on, doesn't he? I did not laugh. Why? for she was afraid. I'm 90 years old. My period of childbearing is long past. I've gone through my hot flashes and all of that a long time ago, and the mechanism that has children is no longer working. But God said, no, but you did laugh. Now in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, we read, by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. It doesn't say to give childbirth, it says to conceive. So what do you think that means? Why did God have to remind them again? Maybe it's time they needed to do something to bring about this promise, right? It seems to me. And so Abraham and Sarah are reminded again, even though it had just been less than 3 months before that, that God had made the promise to them earlier. And so I think that's really good for us, because we know good and well God's promises. We know his promises. He's going to come back the second time. And how often we live our lives as though he's never coming back, right? We don't know when, but we're to be ready. And are we really ready? And are we really ready for this to be our last day on earth? And probably not, but we need to remember his promises and be true to them. And even if we see impossible things in the world and impossible things in our life and impossible things either spiritually or physically or emotional or financial, is there anything too difficult? That word hard also is translated difficult in some cases. Is anything too difficult or too hard or too wonderful or too miraculous for the Lord? And we know the answer is no. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for pointing out to us our tendency to doubt, our tendency to even have our faith waver at times. And when the bad news comes rolling in like a flood over and over, billowing over, billowing over, billowing over, and there seems to be no hope, things we pray and things get worse, and we pray and things get worse. But Lord, we know you're developing our faith, even as with the Syrophoenician woman, you rebuked her 3 times very strongly. She had no basis of coming to you as a Gentile. And yet she kept coming back, kept worshiping you, and kept honoring you, and kept agreeing with you. And after the 3rd rebuke, she said, all I need is a little crumb from your table. You are so awesome. I don't need the whole loaf, just a crumb. And those great words to no other woman in the Bible, no other man in the Bible either, really. I have not seen such faith. So in 34 words, she went from an unknown woman to a woman receiving that great commendation from the Lord. I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel, or all of anywhere else either, for that matter. So Lord, we are weak. Our faith is not very strong. We come in your great faithfulness this morning. And in our prayers, Lord, again, maybe we are not praying with a lot of faith in a lot of these areas, but help us to pray in your faithfulness, Lord, that will be done. And we know anything that we pray that's really in accordance with your will, you hear us, and we know you want to do it. You want to do it more than we want it done. But help us to have that desire to really want it done and really approach you with that idea of, I know this is your will, Lord, and I'm going to keep pounding until we have an answer. And so, Lord, lead us now in this time of prayer by your Spirit, and may we be in one accord as we are led by the same Spirit. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Well, Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. And Lord, may we be the little part you would have us to be of what you're going to do and what you do, Lord. And help us to be following you and not trying to lead you, Lord. But again, not to shy away from fear of, I can't do it either, Lord, when you enable us. So strengthen each one, Lord. I pray for Colleen especially today, and just others who have special needs, Lord. And everybody has needs, and some have different time frames on them, I guess. But Lord, you know what all is ahead. And we just thank you that our names are written in your book of life, Lord, and wish that all those we know would have that same hope. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.